BC Grandstand. Sports coverage like no other.
Hello, and thanks for downloading this ABC Grandstand podcast. For sports coverage like no other, tune into ABC Grandstand on ABC Local Radio, on the ABC mobile app, streaming online at abc.net.au/grandstand, and on ABC Grandstand Digital Radio. Andrew Mays on ABC Grandstand Digital, streaming online and on your mobile.
Well, this last night was the last play of the game in the NRL Grand Final.
20 seconds left, inside to Scott. Scott's caught 13 out. 15 seconds left. The Cowboys need to score last tackle. Granville horrible again. First it has to half volley it. Can't do anything with it. Back to the 20. Gets a pass to Morgan. 22 out. It's all or bust here. Morgan takes them on. Flicks it out. Oh! It's scored. Beltover. It's 16 all. That is the most amazing try I've ever seen in a Grand Final.
It's just absolutely off the charts, as you can hear from the crowd. Thurston missed the winning conversion, but then won it a few minutes later in Golden Point.
14 metres out. Quick play the ball. Here it is. 20 out. Thurston! Oh. He's done it! He's an immortal! The Cowboys have won the 2015 Premiership with a field goal. 2.5 minutes into extra time.
Matt Logue joins us from Big League Magazine to have a chat about it. Matty, good morning to you. Welcome to Grandstand Breakfast.
Thank you, Maisie. Well, what about that, mate? One for the ages and a grand final that will go down as arguably the greatest we've ever seen. Right alongside 1989, it had many ebbs and flows, and, you know, 97 with the finish with Darren Albert. But what a way to finish the season, and what a way for the Cowboys to win their maiden title, fittingly, in their 20th season. Incredible stuff, mate. I'm still buzzing. I've had about 2 hours sleep, and I've got about 40,000 yarns to write, but you know what? Who cares?
It's the end of a long season, mate, and you've only really got one more day to go. I was going to ask you whether you've come down from last night. I went to bed last night. My heart was still racing because of the adrenaline that was pumping through my veins, and I'm sitting on my couch at home. I can't imagine what it must have been like at the stadium last night.
Oh, amazing, mate. Like, really, like, the crowd, like, Brisbane were defending so well. Like, on their line, they were brilliant. And every time the Cowboys went down there, Darius Boyd, he'd just rev up the Broncos crowd at that end of the field, and they'd go crazy. And there was a real sense in the crowd that they're going to hold on the Broncos. Mm. And it got to that point, there was just this crazy section of play where Thurston was going around in circles. He was playing touch football almost. He was going to go to the left side. Then he went, no, I'm going to just flip around, do a complete 360, launch the ball to the other side to Morgan. Morgan has just remarkably kept the ball alive. A beautiful pass, really, for Kyle Felt to score in the corner. And, matey, seriously, I haven't seen scenes like that. Like, as one, the whole place just went up. There were people high-fiving and cheering. It was just amazing stuff. And then it was left, you know, for Jonathan Thurston to seal it from the sideline.
Describe that moment for us at the ground, because on TV he seemed to take an absolute eternity. He was only, he was basically a metre in from the sideline. How are you feeling at that stage, and how's the crowd feeling? Because it was a big build-up, and I don't reckon he hit it that well either, but it almost made it.
Mate, everyone was just waiting and just sitting around, you know. And I think it was a lot because there was a lot of cameramen on the sideline, and Jonathan Thurston was like, you know, come on, guys, like, can you please move? Yep. And it was all built on that one moment. It was just, you know, it was like, you know, obviously Michael O'Connor in State of Origin, we've seen this before in our game, but it is in a grand final to win it, like, wow. And, you know, it was almost like slow motion. It hit, bang, 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 hit post and went out. Thurston, not a happy man. No. They quickly rallied him, though, and then we're off to Golden Point. You know, amazing scenes. You've got to feel sorry for Ben Hunt. He's been sensational for the Brisbane Broncos all season. To drop it off the kickoff, it gives the Cowboys that invaluable chance. And from there, Jonathan Thurston, he's done it countless times this season. He's a Golden Point master, and he's nailed the field goal to send the crowd and Townsville into hysterics. And I'll be like that for the next month. You know, I was, you know, so fortunate and blessed to be in the sheds last night and to see the sheer joy and you know, to work on stories, you know, for Big League coming in the next couple of days, of how the Cowboys have done this and what Paul Green has implemented in this team to really change the culture and to help the Cowboys now be, you know, known and crowned as premiers is an amazing effort. There are, there's so many stories behind the scenes that will come out in the next couple of days, which you know, you'll sit back and just go, wow. And Jonathan Thurston, well, they're now saying immortality beckons. Well, geez, it is a matter of time. No doubt he'll have to, you know, it's all after retirement, but he has certainly put an indelible mark in the judge's mind that, you know, this guy is up there with the best we've seen. But, geez, he had a fair support cast. Michael Morgan, as I mentioned, Jake Granville, I thought, was outstanding out of dummy half. But, you know, the pack did a job. And on the flip side, the Brisbane Broncos contributed to, as I said, arguably the greatest game we've ever seen. You know, they had so many stars as well. Anthony Milford, seriously, at stages there, it looked like he had spiders on him. You know, they were phenomenal, Brisbane. Their defence was outstanding. And it was just a game where, unfortunately, there had to be a loser. That's the reality.
What about that last set of six to set up Thurston for the drop goal as well? Because in high-pressure situations, we can often see teams rush things, but the way that they controlled that set of six were happy not to take the shot. They set up for it in the as soon as Hunt dropped that dropped the mark inside his own 10. And really you thought, oh, they'll pull the trigger on the first or second tackle. But the composure that North Queensland showed, I thought, was fantastic. What did you make of that last set, and how much must they have practiced that in training?
Oh, a lot, you know, and that's something that I think has been a hallmark of their season. They've been able to do that in Golden Point a couple of times. Jonathan Thurston, early in the season against the Melbourne Storm, and then he did it again against Canberra to break their hearts down there in the nation's capital. You're right. It's something that they've thought about, but I think that's also their development as a football team. In past years, I don't think they necessarily would have nailed those big plays, and we've seen it, you know, in the past, a culture where there would be the excuses, but no longer. And Paul Green has played an integral role with that, and you know, in that clutch play, they've mastered it, and it wasn't just on grand final day, but they've done it all season, so it's no coincidence. And yeah, look, to be, as I said, you go into that shed last night and to see people like, you know, Peter Parr, a football manager that's been at the Cowboys for so long. He's been through the ups and downs of, you know, News Limited coming in and helping them financially. They could have folded several times, you know. Yeah, there's the inspirational stories of Kyle Felt, who scored that try, and then only a couple of years ago he was heartbroken when he played in an under-20s decider and missed a kick to win it. So, you know, there's so many great stories. And if you look at it, for the people of North Queensland that travel so far to watch Cowboys home games, who are, you know, they've had drought, they've had a history plagued with, you know, controversy, and but they overcome adversity. They're resilient people, and their football team is just a case study for that.
Wayne Bennett spoke about the possible scrapping of Golden Point in extra and as a decider in the grand final. What are your thoughts on the Golden Point and the big one?
Yeah, look, I think you have to have a result. You know, it's all well and good to have, you know, to come back, but really, like, I agree during the season. I think a draw, there is nothing wrong with that. But in the grand final, it's the way, you know, you could change it to golden try, to force a try, but we could be there. We could still be there, mate.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I think, look, it is what it is. And I think Wayne Bennett, to his credit, he stressed that it's not a bitter thing. He's always believed this.
Yeah.
So regardless of the result, he has not always been not a huge fan of Golden Point. And, you know, I understand that, and that's fair enough. But, you know, for Brisbane fans as well, they need to look at, well, wow, like, no one really expected them to get to the grand final this year. They've excelled, and, you know, they've done a fantastic job. The future is bright. Justin Hodges will retire, but, you know, Ben Hunt will be better for this. Anthony Milford, as I said, he was sensational. Look, really, he quite easily could have won the Clive Churchill medal in a beaten side. They've got the foundation there to go on and have many successful years, Brisbane. And that crowd last night, well, there's a lot of Broncos fans there. So, you know, they're an institution. They're a big, big club in the NRL competition. So, you know, they'll be back bigger and better, and that it hurts. And, that, you know, that's the Broncos' first, you know, grand final they've lost. It's such an exemplary record, you know, in grand finals. So that probably hurts even more. But, geez, for the Cowboys to win their maiden title and Jonathan Thurston in those circumstances, it's hard, you know. Arguably, it's up there with 1989, the best grand final we have ever seen. So, geez, what a moment for rugby league.
I know that tension can lead to exhaustion, but one thing that I noticed last night, it's hard to tell from so far away, but did you think the fatigue at the end of the game was something that you'd rarely seen before? Was that the sense you got at the ground?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that goes, obviously, it was really warm during the day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it probably cooled down a little bit, but I just think that game was just played at such an amazing pace.
Yep.
It was just so competitive, and that contributed to it. Some of the bigger moments when players were just, you know, all over the place in terms of, you know, they were buggered. And you could see in that last bit when the Broncos players just went down first and nailed the field goal. There were so many big moments, so many big plays, if you go through and look at it. And really, it came down to that last play. Like, felt scored with, you know, you had the freeze frame. It was literally 1 second to go.
Yeah. And what beautiful camaraderie at the end as well, because we know, of course, Thurston is teammates with quite a few of the Broncos, of course, from Origin and representative level for Australia as well. There were some beautiful moments, I thought, post-match, especially that really striking image of JT going up and giving Ben Hunt a hug and really talking to him for a minute after the game. There were some incredible scenes post-match.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, you're a photographer, you're loving life. And you know, it was brilliant and it was classy, and that's what Jonathan Thurston is. It was great scenes to see that, you know, the way that he responded, you know, even since Friday, and Ben Hunt left him a message there, and that will sit with Ben Hunt now for the rest of his life. You know, over the summer it'll probably burn him a little bit, but you know, that is sportsmanship at its best. So this is what's so great about Jonathan Thurston. He's not only arguably the greatest player we've ever seen, but he's also just a complete class act. Yeah. So he's humble, he's down to earth. He's, you know, the way his sportsmanship, you know, and you know, the way that that moment, there's a photo, and it'll live with me forever. And he's on the sideline, on the field, sitting there like a little kid with his daughter, and just that moment of just sheer joy. And I think that sums it up. This is a game, maybe, but this is what these guys play for, is for that success. But it's the families and that moment. Wow, you know, and that it'll go down in history on so many levels. But if we do look back on it, we will just say, well, geez, you know, how good is rugby league? And, you know, what a fantastic occasion, you know, for our game. And the bigger picture now, maybe, we'll go back to Townsville the next couple of days, the Cowboys, and the impact that will have on that community that have been through so much. If you've seen, like, unemployment rate, you know, in Townsville is quite significant. You know, this will be... It's immeasurable to really think of the you know, the impact that this will have on the game, and particularly the people of North Queensland.
Yeah, as you've mentioned, so many stories surrounding it, surrounding the grand final this year. It's just you couldn't script it a better game than that, mate. I just want to thank you so much for all your work on ABC Grandstand Breakfast over the last couple of years. It's been fantastic having you on, and thank you so much for your time this season. And didn't we finish it on a high?
Oh, absolutely, mate. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity, and to everyone out there, I'm sure you enjoyed it, and just enjoy the next couple of days. The scenes up there in Townsville. Wait till I get to the airport, mate. It's going to be like
pandemonium.
Absolutely,
it'll be good fun, Matty. Thanks again.
No worries, pleasure.
This is Grandstand Digital. You're with Andrew Mays.
Brett McKay's going to join me on all the latest rugby news, but I've got to play this again because it was so good on Sunday morning.
And it's there for the Wallabies. Turnover time. Phipps across now to Bernard Foley, who straightens. Now Adam Ashley Cooper. Giddo's on his outside.
Oh,
I could hear that a few more times over and over again. Brett McKay joins us from ESPNscrum.com, theraw.com.au, and of course on the sideline for ABC Grandstand. Good morning, mate. Welcome to the last Grandstand, Brecky.
Yeah, good morning, mate. I don't know if welcome is the right word. It's a bit of a... The end of the era. It's a bit of a touch of sadness about this one.
Oh, well, at least we had a good weekend. It was sensational. Sunday morning, I know you spoke yesterday, but Sunday morning, I had a late night Saturday night after doing the AFL Grand Final, and then I knew I had the NRL Grand Final coming up last night, so I had to set the alarm early. And of course, we lost an hour for daylight saving, so that made it even harder to get up. So I stayed in bed and was not, my other half was not happy with me for most of yesterday, considering I woke her up about 19 times throughout the Wallabies game. It was sensational.
Yes, no, it really was. It was certainly hard to keep a lid on reactions as things got on. But, just a fantastic performance all round. The scrummaging of the Wallabies particularly was just absolutely outstanding. And considering that Twickenham against England has been the scene of so many scrummaging disasters for the Wallabies over the last decade, to put in a performance like that, that not only beat and dominated England, but to send them packing from a World Cup, it was just about as sweet as it gets for an Australian forward pack.
Now, I've got an interesting dilemma that I want to run past you. My father-in-law is an Englishman, and I've resisted going the text message or the phone call. He's actually overseas at the moment, but I'm wondering if I pull that out in the next couple of days, or do I just cool my waters just to see how the Wallabies go against Wales?
I'd be tempted just to give him nothing, because he'd be
it's even worse.
He'd probably be expecting something, and so I'd just give him nothing and just let him stew on it.
The silent
and then and then that gives you time also to see how the Wallabies go. And obviously, the further they go into the tournament, the better your silence becomes. The more powerful it becomes. So I'd be giving him absolutely nothing.
It was very tempting on Sunday morning, but I did refrain. Mate, here's Michael Checker on Israel Folau's injury.
He wanted to stay out there. I could just see he wasn't really moving well. So, obviously he's one of our go-tos. We can't leave him out there if he's not at his best physically. You've got to back your team.
Do you expect him to play against Wales, or if there's any doubt, will they give him a rest?
Certainly if there's any doubt, they'll give him a rest. But I with a week between games now, and it's basically a week between every game now, I think they'll do everything they can. And now that they've sort of got past the point of needing 15 on 15 at training, and they still will do that at times, they can, they don't have to be so heavy on him during the week. And Rob Horn is the other one, obviously, with a bit of an injury concern over his shoulder. And I believe that he's shown some signs of improvement, in the day after. So I don't imagine they'll be making a decision on him straight away.
So was it a dislocation for Rob Horn? Has that been confirmed? Or
I haven't heard it confirmed, mate. I have to admit, but I believe that was the case. And certainly post game, he certainly had his left arm in a sling underneath the jacket. So I expect that's what it was. But I guess we'll find out in the next day or two, just to see how bad that really was, or indeed how not so bad it was. So, if Rob Horn's suddenly ruled out, who they might bring in as a replacement becomes interesting, because I mean there's 1,000 outside backs in that Wallaby squad as it is. Kirtley Beale played very, very well off in that sort of roaming commission off the wing. So he's probably the likely replacement in the starting side, but then who you might replace Horn with, and it might even be someone like Christian Lelefano. I can't imagine that they would go with someone like Tungeli Nayirovoro, who's only played the one test, and that was against the US. So I couldn't imagine they'd bring him in for the important stages of a World Cup. I would imagine they would want a little bit of experience and someone like that. So
you don't think they'll go an out and out winger?
No, I don't know. I don't know that they would. You know, because you know Drew Mitchell is there on the on waiting in the wings as well.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Henry Spate, Joe Tamani, in the background there as well. As I say, there's certainly no shortage of outside backs in the
no, it's great.
In the squad.
Yeah.
So. So yeah, I don't know if they would, and yeah, you know, and look, maybe they might even say, well, you know, do we need another halfback perhaps, and you know, just to keep things on their toes. In which case, they might quickly put Nick White on the jet over the English Channel. He's over in France playing with Montpellier now, so
okay. Maybe
that might be a consideration.
Yeah, I thought poor old Nick Phipps, he's had a couple of bad moments. And
yeah. Rod Kafer actually made a really good point in the Fox Sports commentary that Phipps does get to a ruck so quickly, and he was quite often having to wait for runners to arrive. And, of course, you know, by the stage he's into the game, there's guys on there who've been playing a pretty brutal game for an hour already, so they weren't quite getting there as quick as they thought. So I thought after he's just sort of settled down after that initial period of sloppiness, I suppose is the word, he wasn't too bad. But yeah, he just needs to cool the jets a little bit when he first gets on, and probably try and ease his game, his way in, rather than just go hammer and tongs from the outset.
Now, we've got a break tonight, I think, but then there was a couple of matches overnight. Argentina, far too strong for Tonga, 45 points to 16, and Ireland 16 points to 9 over Italy, who did that, you know, they did challenge the Irish at times. So a little bit to work on for the Irish, who have sort of gone under the radar so far.
They really have, and it feels like each time I've mentioned Ireland over the last few weeks, people say, "Oh, that's right, they're playing." So look, they were pushed. I set the alarm to wake up and watch this, and I have to admit that it wasn't overly successful on this last chance of this game. but they certainly were pushed. It was you know, Italy hit back to bring it back to within, you know, 3 points or something like that, and Ireland kicked the last penalty to get away. But I think Ireland will come out of that quite well. They're top of Pool D, equal with France on points, and it just gives them a bit of a hard hit out before they take on France next weekend, and that's going to be an absolute belter. That'll decide who tops Pool D, and the loser of that game goes through in second place from Pool D, and the reward for going through in second place in Pool D is to play New Zealand in the quarterfinals.
Not ideal.
Well, and a wounded New Zealand, it should be said, because they've been a long way from their best as well, and the more that gets said, I think the more determined they'll be. And so by the time we get to the quarterfinal stages here in 2 weeks' time, I don't know that I'd want to be playing New Zealand.
No, I don't think I'd want to. I don't want to play them at any stage except for the final. So, fingers crossed.
And look, ideally, even if we can avoid them then, that's fantastic.
Exactly. If someone else can do our dirty work for us.
If someone could do a job, that'd be wonderful.
That'd be great. Mate, thanks so much, not only for this morning, but all the times that we've spoken over the last couple of years. I know Francis thanks you as well. We'll still hear you, of course, on ABC Grandstand. I know you're joining the weekender a few times over summer to talk rugby and cricket, so look forward to hearing you then. And again, thanks from the bottom of my heart for all your work that you've done over the last couple of years for us.
Oh, no problems at all, mate. And thank you for having me on. And obviously, Francis, as you mentioned, Al Crombie will be there in the background with a tear in his eye, I'd imagine, not being able to call me every Monday morning. But look, thanks to you. It has been fantastic talking rugby and a bit of cricket over the summer for the last few years. And I wish you guys all the best with whatever's the next chapter.
This is Grandstand Digital. Grandstand Digital. You're with Andrew Mays.
Andrew Mays and Francis Leach for you for the last 10 minutes or so. And joining us on the line for his final Monday rant, it's a very good morning to Damien Lovelock.
Damo.
Good morning, mate.
Maisie Francisco.
Hey, how you going?
I'm good. Big weekend of sport.
Yeah.
All my teams won, so, you know, you come into Monday with a wet sail.
Southampton getting the job done at Chelsea. It was fantastic to watch.
Yes. We've been close with them a few times in recent years and just haven't quite got it done. And it is a little bit like cripple bashing at the moment, but we'll take it. <You know? laughs>
it was a funny weekend, Damo. How did you go for sleep? Because I reckon I just got to 10 hours for the
nights. Not well, and then it was very hot in Sydney last night.
Yep.
And had couple that with sort of the residual adrenaline from that NRL grand final.
I couldn't get to sleep last night, Francis. So I watched the.
You were just staying up to watch Arsenal put on a show against United.
Wish I'd been asleep. it was a funny night because I had so much adrenaline running through my body, I couldn't get to sleep for 45 minutes. So I had to chuck the TV back on and keep watching all the post-match stuff. It was something else that last
When he missed that last conversion, Damo, did you think that he was just a star-crossed in a cowboy shirt, another way of misfortune visiting?
There's been a bit of that, you know. They've had that nobility of failure thing.
And some rough...
That
rough
the French specialise in, you know. They had that, and when he hit it, I thought, oh, have they got it in them? But I was worried about the Broncos, not that I, you know, I don't like the Broncos, never have, as a fan, but I thought they put the queue in the rack with about 25 minutes to go with their fifth tackle options, and they just kept kicking to the corner or kicking the ball out and resetting the defensive line, believing they could defend a four-point lead, which is pretty unheard of.
Mm.
And, I mean, let's face it, with 1 second to go, they were right. But it's very hard to then switch on and win a game a second time. So with the people I was watching with, I said, well, Thurston's just got to clear his head and kick a field goal, which is what he does. He's better at that than anybody else. And, you know, he got it. But I got to say, I'm not a huge fan of the old golden point. I know it makes great theatre, but, you know, now you've got one kid who's had a great season, who's got a shoulder for the rest of his life that he dropped a grand final. And it shouldn't come down to one play by one guy or one mistake.
So how would you prefer to resolve it?
Well, two of my favourite grand finals ever was 77 and 78, where they had a replay on the Tuesday.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. You play 20 minutes extra time, but it's extra time. So if you kick a field goal, great. You've still got to defend it for 19 more minutes.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And then if you can't separate them, have dual winners. I don't have a...
Dual winners.
Coming from a football background, I don't have a problem with the draw. The draw is a result. You know, the result is you couldn't separate the teams.
It'd be a big premiership reunion.
Yeah. And all... If it was two Sydney clubs, they'd be putting on extra staff in the cross that night, I can tell you.
Just in terms of, you know, the universal talents in world sport, Jonathan Thurston's command of a game, well, in a football parlance, who does he remind you of?
He's a little Cruyff-like, actually, except Cruyff probably was a more skillful player than Thurston is a skillful player. But Thurston has an incredible ability to read the game, see three plays ahead what he wants to do. But I've got to say, they ran the same sweep left or sweep right play all night, and it didn't work once. And if they hadn't scored that try, I would have been fairly scathing on them this morning, because they kept trying to, you know, just overload one side or the other and score in the corner. And the Broncos were eating them alive. They were eating it up for breakfast. And then they ran a broken play, a broken version of a broken play, on the last play of the game. A Broncos player took out the defensive winger, and that's how they got the try. So, you know, you got to be brave. But I thought most of what they did going forward to try and score didn't work all night, and they just kept persisting with it. So you could either argue that they're geniuses and their persistence paid off in the end, or they just got really lucky because they've been really unlucky in the past.
Damo, I wanted to ask about the composure of Thurston at the end too, because that final set, they had a few chances to have a crack at the goal, but the way that their system worked, I mean, I've never been to a rugby league training session, but I can't imagine the amount of hours they must put in at finishing off games, especially golden point style. That was incredible, the composure he showed.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. I watched a game earlier this year where Cronulla should have beaten them. The Cowboys came back from the dead. I think it went to Golden Point. And Jonathan Thurston had three field goal attempts in one tackle because they charged it down, the ball kept alive, then he had another shot, they charged it down again, and then he kicked it. Yeah. So, you know, he's the guy you want. And I don't think you can recreate at training that stuff because so much is happening and it's happening so fast. It's that person who can just stay clear and just execute that one play. And that's what he's really good at.
Damo, A-League season's almost upon us. Just musing before with Dave Davidovich, it feels like there's not a story or not a narrative yet to the competition. It's the most underwhelming build-up to an A-League season in quite a while.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're saving all the promotional money for a really big bang in the first 3 weeks. Because, yeah, you're right. If I wasn't doing yoga with Sydney FC, I'd have no idea that they were going to start next weekend.
Mm.
Not a clue. And you've got to be good. You look at the landscape now. I mean, the AFL's got a bit of a problem with their last two grand finals have been complete fizzers. The NRL, great grand final. But the A-League have had two or three really good seasons now, and you can't slack off. You've got to keep promoting. You've got to create the interest, you know. And, I would agree. It's pretty underwhelming at the moment. But hopefully they've got a big surprise play in store for us. I'd be surprised if they had.
And Sydney FC, you watching them up close and personal, has their pre-season been?
Pretty good. It's a different Sydney FC to anything we've seen in recent years. There's no big sort of marquee signing up front, none of that. A pretty rounded squad. A more balanced team, I think, that the sort of squads Arnie likes, like he did at Central Coast, where there's young kids and, you know, it's a bit more level rather than, you know, a marquee guy who's on $1 million a year and then everybody else. But we'll see. You know, as you say, and I would agree, I don't know much about what any of the other teams are doing. It's very lo-fi, and you want it to start with a bang rather than a whimper, because that's what was killing the A-League for years, where they kept starting, you know, 8 weeks before the end of the NRL and the AFL season. So just as everybody's caught up in what their winter team is doing, it starts. And you could basically throw away the first six rounds. But, you know, having rectified that, you've now got to make a little more of a noise, I think.
Yeah.
Have a bit more pizzazz and a bit more presentation.
It's got to get a move on. Damo, just a couple of minutes as well on the Wallabies. What a win on Sunday morning it was. And a little bit unexpected, I reckon, especially the domination which they showed, especially with the scrum.
Yeah, certainly I felt that. I got to say, I felt sorry for England going out of the tournament.
What? Oh, Damo.
No, it's true. It's true. I know. It's a big thing.
Lost it finally. Finally, it's taken a while.
No, I was glad we beat them, but I never like to see the hosts go out, you know, unless it's Germany, which would never happen. But I expected more. I thought we would have to really play well. I thought they would really bring it to us. They brought it to us in bits, but they were just so bad with the ball. And I was looking at them and I thought, they've got the sort of team that they were building 20 years ago. You know, giant, muscular guys ripping out of their shirts. But we didn't play like that. We played a fast-moving, up-tempo game, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They simply couldn't do it.
You could see the checker blueprint on it, couldn't you? Is what he did with the Waratahs, a really quick, dynamic back line and a four-pack that provides a space for them to actually go to work. It was great to watch.
Yeah, and the English, you know, if you'd run straight into them all day and turned it into a grunt contest, they'd have won. You know, they'd be top of the group and they'd win the World Cup. It's like rugby's moved on and somehow they've come up with this strange team that's designed to win the 1990 World Cup, but that's already been played.
Don't tell them, though.
Damo, I want to thank you for all your help.
Thank
over the
you,
last
Damo.
Couple of
You're
years.
A champion.
It's been great fun, and hopefully we'll hear a bit more of you over summer on ABC Grandstand.
Well, I've loved every minute of it, boys, and, yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and I hope we do all meet again, because it's been a really good show, in my opinion, and, you know, that's totally biased because I'm on it, but nevertheless.
We'll have some more fun along the way. Damien Lovelock there joining us for the last time. Now, Francis, before we go, we do have to thank Al Crombie, who puts the show together. He's on the phone right now.
Thank you, Al. He can't speak because he's been shouting at the Wallabies all weekend.
It's very hard to get up at 3:30 every morning.
Just a big furry muppet today.
But Al puts in a mountain of work every week. So, Al, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much. It's been great fun. Francis, thank you.
Maisie.
Thank you for the last couple of years. It's
been fun.
Wonderful. But we will hear you, of course, on the weekend.
I'll be back on Saturday. You'll be there too.
After the marathon of the weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
It's been great fun. Thank you for listening. We've had a ball on ABC Grandstand Breakfast. Keep tuning into Grandstand. As I said, you'll hear Francis on the weekender and all the team back from next Saturday. That's it from me. I'm Andrew May, signing off for the last time on Grandstand Brekkie.
Week after week.
Cut the cut, and it's gone!
Round after round.
Go!
ABC Grandstand's coverage of the A-League reaches fans all around Australia.
There's a shot of goal at the score!
On mobile, online and on your radio.
And it's rocketed in!
ABC Grandstand's coverage of the A-League is coming soon on ABC Local Radio. Streaming online and on your mobile. Download the ABC Radio app to hear every game live.